The Ulster Unionist Party's spokesman is Roy Beggs Jr. Morning to you, Roy.
Good morning, Stephen.
Where does the Ulster Unionist Party stand on this? And before you answer that question, the TUV have now been in touch with us this morning, and they have said Chris and Laura have not asked to meet the TUV, but if they were to contact us and request a meeting, we would be very happy to arrange that. It is untrue, they say, for the Nolan Show to claim that we have ignored the couple. We have had no contact from them, say the TUV. To be clear, I'm saying that we contacted the TUV about Chris and Laura, and the TUV did not get back to us. That's what I'm saying. Roy Beggs, and in fact, the TUV are very welcome to come on the show this morning, as is any political party. And if the SDLP want to change their mind and actually want to engage in what is a national discussion and a very important discussion, then the airwaves are here for them. And why a political party in this country would want to say no comment, you know, maybe someone else can answer that. Roy Beggs, what is the position of the Ulster Unionist Party around this issue?
Well, first of all, can I highlight, like most political parties in the United Kingdom, Ulster Unionists consider this issue to be an issue of conscience for their individual members. So when I'm speaking, for myself. We regard this as a very personal issue, both for those families that face such situations, but also as a personal issue of conscience in deciding how best to deal with it. Like the two families, Chris and Laura and Sarah and her husband, I face a huge dilemma around this issue. Like them, I am also against abortion on demand, but I do not adopt a fundamentalist approach on this issue. I recognise that there is huge potential physical and mental health aspects to such situations, which could have ramifications to the mother's life. And I think everything has to be taken in balance. We want to protect life, the life of a child, and we also want to ensure that the life of the mother is also protected. And I believe that for those mothers who wish and who believe that they will face huge mental and physical trauma having to carry a fetus when it would not survive as a child outside the womb, I can recognise that would be a huge trauma for them and could risk their long-term health. I am concerned...
Yeah, but Roy, just one second on that. Actually, what you're saying there is very close to where the law is at the moment, because if there is a significant, permanent, long-term risk to a mother's physical or psychological well-being, then that is grounds for abortion in Northern Ireland.
I think you have to look very carefully at what has happened since the minister brought out his latest guidance consultation. When you look at some of the responses that have been made by the medical professions, you see the concern that they have highlighted.
Well, the Royal College of Nursing are describing the guidelines, draft guidelines issued by the Department of Health, as threatening.
Yes, they're saying that aggressive and patronising, unhelpful,
not fit for purpose, they say,
language has been used, and that they are concerned about them. They've even highlighted in those guidelines that if they were to be followed by their members, they could potentially be removed from the nursing register of the Nursing and Midwifery Council for breaking patient confidentiality. So there are huge basic things that are wrong with the recent guidance that Minister has put out for consultation. And the question that must be put is, what was wrong with
Roy, well, again, let's be fair to the Health Minister. You know, we often criticise politicians for not listening, for not reacting quickly enough to what's in the public domain. You know, the breaking news this morning is that we can confirm that the Health Minister is to bring revised guidelines to the Assembly within the next, to the Executive within the next few weeks?
Yes, Stephen, and that's 2.5 years after he came into office, when there had been extensive previous consultation on the 2009 guidance. There had been judicial review where they were deemed to be appropriate, other than in a couple of areas, which subsequent adjustments were put out for consultation, and essentially all the work had been done 3 years ago. So what was wrong with the 2009 guidance, and why did the minister so dramatically change everything that was laid out there to a situation which actually is putting healthcare professionals into a situation of fear as they try to carry out their professional duty, looking after both an unborn child and a mother? The health professionals have indicated to me that they believe they're in a situation of fear because of these guidance, which are even in that draft stage, because it is causing them each to think about how the Department of Health officials would respond to such situations. And it's questioning how they have been working.
So to be clear, is it your position that the law should be changed so that fetal abnormality can be grounds for an abortion in Northern Ireland if that fetal abnormality is lethal? In other words, if that fetal abnormality is going to lead to the death of that child, either during pregnancy or very shortly after birth, do you think the law should be changed to allow people who find themselves in that situation to have an abortion in Northern Ireland?
I have to weigh up my own conscience on this issue. It is not an easy situation. I am not the woman or the family in such a situation. I have to feel for them. I do believe that where a medical professional recognises that there are risks to that family, to their physical health and to their long-term mental health, that should be reflected
that's the laws
by the clinician.
That is the laws that stands at the moment, Roy.
But Minister Pust has introduced new guidance, which is much more severe than that. He is wanting a second clinician to take a view on it. He's wanting a psychiatric assessment, a much more rigorous assessment, which would make it much more difficult for compassion to be shown in such situations.
But in a situation where the long-term health of the mother is not under question, in other words, that she is not suicidal, that she is not likely to be at risk of serious physical, permanent, long-term deterioration, but that mother is saying that she does not want to have to deliver a deceased baby, that she does not want to have to go through the very acute stress of delivering a baby that will die either during pregnancy or shortly afterwards. Do you support that mother's right to have an abortion in Northern Ireland if that baby has a lethal fetal abnormality?
In that very limited circumstance, and where a clinician recognises the potential for long-term mental adverse effects on the mother, yes, I would support it.
If there are no long-term mental adverse effects, and the reason I'm pushing you in this, Roy, is this. I'm not trying to be smart today. I'm not trying to catch out a politician. This is actually a story that we as a programme are trying to walk through very maturely and very slowly. And there's no cleverness trying to come from me whatsoever. So when I was with Sarah and her family, and I believe we're going to hear from Jane, Sarah's mother, very shortly indeed. She sent me an email this morning. Sarah was explaining that she didn't believe, and if you think of what that family said, I asked that family behind the scenes, I said, why didn't you say that you were at risk of serious psychological long-term harm? And Jane's mum, Sarah's mum, Jane, turned around and said to me, well, we're not a family that tells lies. We weren't sure whether Sarah would be at risk of long-term psychological harm. You know, how do you predict that? And so they as a family, despite the fact they were desperate to have an abortion in Northern Ireland, were not prepared to speculate. They were not prepared to tell lies. And that's the reason why, Roy, I'm pushing you on this. If there is no long-term psychological definite harm, but that mother is in acute psychological distress at that time, in other words, it's short-term psychological harm, should she have the right to have an abortion in Northern Ireland if the fetal abnormality of her child is lethal?
Again, I'm speaking personally and thinking into my own conscience. where a mother is at stress because of such a situation, because of a long-term effect, because of there is a fetal abnormality where a child could not survive outside the womb, I think stress in that mother should be recognized. So I am saying, in those very limited situations, I believe the law should allow the clinician's judgments to be made and the mother's wishes to be respected. Because who am I, or who is anyone else, to say what will be the effect on that mother in 1 year's time or 2 years' time? I think there has to be an assessment of the stress that that mother is in at that time, and the risk to health of both the fetus, who cannot survive outside the womb, and also the risk to the mother now and in the future.
Well, the final question, and by the way, thank you. Thank you for being a politician that's been prepared to come on, and, you know, I could actually hear you thinking during this programme. Thank you for being a politician that's been prepared to come on, reflect, and actually assert an opinion. Now, can I ask you a final question? What do you think should now happen within the political machine at Northern Ireland around this issue? Do you think people should be given some type of free vote? Do you think, as Basil McRae thinks, that there should be an urgent recall of the Assembly around this issue? What do you think should happen?
The only thing I'm aware of that can have any immediate effect, I've got to say,
you don't need to recall the Assembly when it's not in recess, but Basil McRae is saying that he thinks there should be a special urgent debate around this.
Well, that will have no long-term, that will have no immediate impact on Chris and Laura's situation, because that would not change the law. If we want to do something quickly, it may be helpful if Minister Poots completely withdrew his recent consultations on this matter and actually finalised the work that had been done previously and make the final adjustments to the guidance that had previously worked its way through since 2009. That would have immediate effect and remove the huge uncertainty that exists as a result of the Minister's dramatic change in the guidance in this area. That will have effect on the ground with medical professionals straight away. So I hope that he will heavily reflect on this. And anyone can say they will consider something, but what we need to do is ensure there is actual change which makes differences on the ground.
Minister Poots has said, the Department of Health have told this programme this morning, this is significant news, that Minister Poots will bring revised guidelines to the executive within weeks. And, you know, some of these families that were contacting me, they said, you know, will there actually be any change? They've effected change within weeks. They've effected change within days. Let's see what that change possibly is. They've certainly changed the debate. Roy Beggs, thank you.